I don't know how much preaching I'll do tonight as far as preaching. I'm going to share with you what the Word of God has for us. And I shared this with, I'll be honest with you, I shared it with Layla a month or so ago, and the Lord's just really burdened my heart about it lately. And I really feel that maybe this will be a help to you. And it's really been a help to me. And, you know, as I said this morning, and if you wasn't here this morning, what I'm teaching on tonight or preaching on tonight is we're not going to talk about the evidence of salvation, but we're going to look at the experiences of salvation. And everybody's experience is not the same. Salvation is the same. The process that God did is the same. But the experience may have been different. Now, and when I say that, I'm talking about the physical. What happened spiritually is the same in every person, because understand this, Jesus said that you must be born again. John 3:3. And understand, you can't be unborn. All right? And that's not, we'll get into that in our Sunday school lessons in the future about eternal life and eternal security. But we must understand that if you can't be unborn now. I mean, just as Nicodemus said, can a man be born a second time from his mother's womb? You can't crawl back up in there. Yeah, I mean, and I don't mean that hard. It's just a fact. You can't be unborn. If you got born again by the Spirit of God, guess what? You're still saved. There's nothing you can do to lose it. But I'm afraid today there's a lot of confusion going on. And we hear preachers preach, and I'll be honest with you, there was a statement made from this pulpit, and it was made about a month ago, and it was by a visiting evangelist, and I love him, and I understand what he was saying, but I think there might have been confusion about it, and it was basically that if you got saved to keep from going to hell, he kind of related to the point that he would question your salvation. If you wasn't wanting Jesus more than anything, or if you wasn't just getting saved for Him to be your Lord or something is the way He put it. I don't remember, but it really bothered me when He said that, because I'm just going to be honest with you. The day I got saved, I was dying to escape the condemnation of God and going to hell. Amen? I'm just honest with you. I realized that I was a sinner and on my way to hell, and I realized that if without the salvation that God had provided, that I was going to hell. And I've realized that the Lord had condemned, and I'm not taking away from the Spirit of God. And if we need to go back sometime and teach in John 16:17, the work of the Spirit of God in salvation, about His conviction and about His drawing and all that, we can do that. But I want to talk about the experiences of salvation tonight. Because understand this, there's nobody in the building who has the same experience. Understand that. Now, we say that, and when I say that, what I'm saying is this, we are all saved the same way. Salvation came by grace through faith. Amen. It's not of ourselves. The gift of God is not of works, lest any man should boast. We confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the way we got saved. But we might have not quoted that verse. We might have not have spoke those exact words. We might have not have prayed the same prayer. There was probably a great possibility that the majority of the people in here was in a different location when they got saved. But if you got saved, you got saved. And we're going to look at a man tonight. He didn't even ask to be saved. But I believe he'll be in heaven. We're going to look at two of those, really, tonight. And you say, well, can they be saved without? I'm just going to show you what the Word of God says, okay? And we're going to look at that tonight. But let's look in Romans chapter number 10, and then we'll go to the book of Luke. But let's look at Romans chapter number 10, and there again, this is not to cause confusion. This is to help with confusion. And let's look at Romans chapter 10 tonight. And if you have your Bibles, let's begin reading there in verse number 9. Well, let's just read verse number 8, because that's part of the sentence of verse number 9. Notice what it says there. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, understand this. You had to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it was from the preacher preaching it, the Sunday school teaching it, teacher teaching it, or the soul winner telling it. One of those two things happened. You heard the word of God. And when that word of God was mixed with faith, remember, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And when you mixed that, when your faith was placed in that word of God that you heard preached, and you heard taught of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's how you got saved. And we're going to look at that tonight. Now look, let's go on and read. And look what the Bible says, verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I don't care who you are, you cannot argue with that verse. Amen? That's very clear. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now let me just go ahead and go on record and say this. I don't believe in easy believism. I don't believe in ABCs, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me and you're saved. That salesman mentality came in back in the 1940s, maybe about 1950s, and they I can tell you where it started, and I can tell you where it originated, but I'm not going to speak of that. But it came in with a business mindset. It became in because this the insurance salesman's mindset, and he applied those principles to soul winning. And those principles, this where 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, came into play, okay? So, I'm not easy believism. Now understand this. If some people got saved, that simple, you better believe it. So, there are some people that got saved by repeating the prayer. There are those that have gotten saved. But understand this. Whatever Jesus said this, that no man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. Unless there was conviction of the Holy Ghost to God, and then there was that faith was that was given to that human being was mixed with the preaching of that word of God, understand this, they did not get saved. It is a spiritual thing. It's not a natural thing. It is a spiritual thing that happens. But let's go on and read here. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now understand this, and I want you to understand this tonight. Salvation is a heart issue. It's not a mind issue. Get that. Salvation's a heart issue, and it's a soul issue. It's not a mind issue. It's not up here. Okay? It's not up here. It's in here. It's in that being of a human being. It's in that innermost man. The Bible said that even the devils believe and tremble. We know this, that it takes more than just the head knowledge of the Scriptures. It takes more than just the head knowledge of who Jesus is. The head knowledge that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried and He rose again on the third day. That's what the gospel is, according to the Word of God. It's more than just a head knowledge. You can know it and believe it, and yet you can believe it in your head and believe that it happened and still not place your faith in that it will deliver you from the condemnation of your sins and get you into heaven. Understand that. Now let's go on and read. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Now let me labor that point just a moment. I'll never forget that night that I said that I got saved as a 13-year-old boy. I didn't get saved. One way I know that I didn't get saved because I was ashamed to tell. Are you listening to me? What did the Bible say right there? Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be what? Ashamed. I was ashamed to tell people that I got saved. Jesus said, or Paul said this, he said, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You get saved, you won't be ashamed because you'll be thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Amen? So, now notice verse number 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. Notice this verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now notice here, nowhere in this passage of Scripture do you find that it says you must pray this way. You must say these words. Are you following me? Nowhere in this do you find that. We're going to look at four different men that's got saved according to the Scriptures. And none of them were in the same place. None of them was in the same position. None of them said the same phrases. But I believe when we get to heaven, they'll all be there. Now, if you have Bibles, now turn to Luke chapter number 23. Luke chapter number 23. Here's the crucifixion, the story of the crucifixion. Let's begin reading in verse number 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Notice the person here that is getting saved. He is a thief. He is a robber. He is on his deathbed. Do you believe in deathbed salvation? I sure do. I'd hate to know that I was waiting until I died before I got saved. Amen? Because guess what? How do you know that you're going to get saved before you die? But here, this man, it was a deathbed salvation. He was dying. And the Bible said this, that he said unto Jesus, Lord, he realized who he was. He realized that he was the Son of God. He realized that he was dying on the cross for no wrong, because what he said, we receive the due reward for our deed, but this man hath done nothing amiss. He realized that Jesus was sinless. He realized that Jesus was Lord. He didn't say, Lord, save me. He didn't say, Lord, I understand all of the Scriptures. I've heard of you from the time that I was a child. Lord, I can quote all the verses there or all the oracles of the law. All this man could do in that dying breath was say this phrase, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. They notice here his performance, the performance that this man was going through was that he was dying. And this is the four points that we're going to look at each individual tonight. We're going to look at the person of who they were. They were a thief, that this man was, and he was a thief. We're going to look at the place that they were in when they got saved. This man was on the cross. We're going to look at the performance or what that man was doing when he got saved. This man, he was dying. And then we're going to look at the phrase that they spoke, that is recorded, that they spoke when they placed their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the phrase that this man spoke was, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's all he said. And Jesus said unto him, what did Jesus say? Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He didn't say you prayed it wrong. He didn't say, you know, you asked me wrong. He didn't say, do you understand it all? And all that man was saying was, Lord, remember me. Lord, you're the only one that can save me out of my sins. Lord, I know that you're going to enter into the kingdom. Lord, I know that you're Jesus. I mean, can you not see that in this verse? I mean, he knew that he was coming into the kingdom. He realized that he was Jesus, the King to come. He realized that he was the Messiah. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus' words was what? Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. When did that man get saved? When he asked. Now let me ask you this. How many of you have prayed a prayer such as that prayed those words when you got saved? Anybody in here prayed those words when you got saved? No? You want to know why? Because your situation was different. Your situation was different. So I want you to see that it was not in the exact words that this man prayed, but it was in the faith that he exercised in the Lord. He called upon the name of the Lord, did he not? And what did the Bible say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. For the heart, man believeth. Do you not see where he believed? He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. He confessed to him as Lord. He confessed that he needed a Savior. He confessed that he needed salvation. Y'all see that in that scripture? And what did the Lord do? He saved him. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter number 8. Here we have this, the person here is this Ethiopian eunuch. Now understand this. Let me give you some background here. Here Philip was in the city of Samaria, and man, he was having a great revival. I mean, man, people were getting saved, and man, there was all things going on. People were getting healed. Simon the sorcerer had believed and got baptized, and man, he was witnessing, and he did ask for the same. He tried to pay money for the Holy Ghost, but when Peter and John came, and Peter rebuked him for that, and he said, "Repent, therefore." And he said, then he answered. Simon answered, and he said, "Pray for me that none of these things which you prayed and said will come unto me." But as Philip was in this revival, verse 26, the Bible said this. Well, let me understand this, and let me say this. While Philip was in Samaria on this in this revival that was going on, there was an Ethiopian eunuch that was traveling in his chariot, I guess to Jerusalem or to Rome. I'm not sure where he was traveling. But there was this chariot going down the road, and there was this Ethiopian eunuch, and he was eunuch of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, according to verse number 27. And he was reading the scripture there in Isaiah. And as he was reading the scripture there in Isaiah, remember what we talked about in Romans chapter 10, that verse there. And let me read this to you. That word that Paul was saying, remember this. He said, thy word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. As he was reading that story of Isaiah, understand this, he didn't understand it. And all of a sudden, here, let's begin reading in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is in the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. Well, now, if I'd have went back and read that again, I told you he didn't know where he was going, but according to here, he was on the road to Jerusalem that day to worship God. Okay? He was going to worship. He had a knowledge of God. He had a knowledge of worshiping God in Jerusalem. I'm looking in verse 28, and was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah, that's Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. May I just say this to you? Never discredit the Holy Ghost of God in your life. If the Holy Ghost says, go tell them about Jesus, the Holy Ghost is probably already working in their heart. Philip here was in a revival, and God said, you need to go to Ethiopia. You need to go down here to the road, because there's a eunuch coming through, and he's reading the Word of God. God knew what was going on. And as he got there, the Holy Ghost told him, he said, Philip, go join up to the chariot. Go join him. He needs your help. That's where we are. And Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can I except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this, of himself or of some other man? He was reading there about Isaiah. He knew about God. He was reading in the book of Isaiah, but he didn't understand it. God sent Philip that way to explain the Word of God to him. And the eunuch answered and said, who's he talking about? Here we begin reversing verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began up the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Do you find anywhere in that scripture where this Ethiopian eunuch bowed? Do you find anywhere in that scripture that the Ethiopian eunuch repeated the prayer? Do you find anywhere in that scripture, and you go by and look for the word saved or salvation? It's not there. But I will argue with you till the cows come home and we go home that this man was going to be in heaven. You want to know why? Because the Holy Ghost, the Bible said, called Philip away and took him away, and the Ethiopian went rejoicing. There was a change in him. Did you have that kind of experience of salvation? Was that your experience? There's nowhere there that he said, Lord, save me. There's nowhere there that he quoted Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. There's nowhere there that it says, and understand this, I'm treading lightly because I don't want to cause any confusion. Because you just don't get saved any old way. But what I'm telling you tonight is that every experience is not the same. They have the same characteristics. It's the same faith. It's the same gospel. It's the same spirit. But don't go basing your salvation on what somebody else's experience was. I didn't have a thief on the cross experience. I didn't have an Ethiopian eunuch experience. All this Ethiopian eunuch said, he said, well, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He was so excited about what he... Philip said, well, if you believe, you can. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He said, that's what I believe. But now remember, Philip had just preached to him Jesus. So when he preached to him Jesus, he preached to him about his virgin birth. He preached to him. He was reading in Isaiah about the cross and the shame. That's what he was reading about, that Jesus was going to bear. I believe that Philip preached to him about the cross. I believe that Philip preached to him about the resurrection. I believe that Philip preached to him about the day of Pentecost. Because he preached unto him Jesus. And he heard the Word. And he heard that Jesus was a Savior. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Philip said this, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went both down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. And he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Let me ask you this. If you don't think, you not think that the Spirit of the Lord, if God hadn't done a work and completed a work there, do you think God would have called Philip away? I mean, that's a soul that was weighed in the balance and found wanting. You think God would have left that Ethiopian eunuch hanging, wondering whether or not he'd ever been saved? Are you following me? So often we get so caught up in the words and we get so caught up in the experience that it's not the words and it's not the experience. It's faith in the Word of God. It's faith in believing that Jesus Christ will do what Jesus Christ said that He would do. It's faith in believing that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter number 9. We're right there. Just stay where you're at. You don't even have to turn. The person we're looking at now is we're looking at Saul of Tarsus. The Bible said this in verse number 1, "And Saul, yet bringing out threatenings and slaughters against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Now understand this. Here was the meanest of mean of men. Okay? He was the one who laid their coats down at his feet when they stoned Stephen. He was the one that watched over the stoning of Stephen. This man was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. He was killing disciples. Okay? He was slaughtering them. The Bible said this. He said this about himself, that he was chief among sinners. Now, the Bible said this, verse 2, "And desired of him letters to Damascus and to the synagogues, that he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." Man, he was going through the highways and the hedges, and he had letters in his pocket, and he found that if they were any disciples of Jesus, anybody that confessed that Jesus was the Son of God, anybody that was worshiping God, he had the authority to take them bound back to Jerusalem to stand trial. "And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink." Now, does your salvation match Paul's experience? Anybody? Are you saved? I didn't see a bright light. I wasn't struck down walking down the road in a bright light and a voice of thunder. But I did hear the voice of God calling my name. I was trembling and I was astonished. And I said, Lord, I need you to save me. Do you find there where Paul asked the Lord to save him? Anybody see that? Are you going to tell me since Paul didn't say, Lord, save me, that he's not saved? He wrote 13 books for the New Testament. He wrote those verses over there in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you find anywhere in this conversion experience of the testimony of Paul that he asked the Lord to save him? I'm not trying to cause confusion. I'm just talking about it's not in always the words that we say. How many of you got under such burden of your sin, but I'm talking about literally. Was there around about you a light from heaven? and that you fell to the earth, and you heard a voice saying, your name, why persecutest thou me? Anybody have that experience? Well, are you saved? Then why do we base and question, well, my spirit's wasn't just like theirs. You didn't have the thief on the cross experience. You didn't have the Ethiopian eunuch's experience. You hadn't had Paul's experience. So according to our philosophy, then if I hadn't had the Ethiopian eunuch's experience, and it's in the Word of God and it's true, and I hadn't had the experience of the thief on the cross, and if I didn't have the experience of the Apostle Paul, then am I saved? Is that not our philosophy a lot of times? Am I the only one that's talking to... Nobody else has ever thought that? Well, I got a question. Are you saved? Are you saved? Let's look at the next one. The phrase, let me go back before we go. The phrase that the thief on the cross prayed, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The phrase that the Ethiopian eunuch said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip's response was, if thou believest all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The phrase that the Apostle Paul said, who art thou, Lord, and what wilt thou have me to do? That's the phrases. Now let's look at this person, the next person, Acts chapter number 16, verse 26. Paul and Silas was in jail in the land of Philippi, or in the city of Philippi, for preaching the gospel. And I can promise you they wasn't Baptist. They were Baptist, but they wasn't today's Baptist. You want to say, well, how do I know they's Baptist? Because they's biblical, amen? I hope that's why you're a Baptist, because Baptists are biblical. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and saved praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. You say, well, why didn't you say they weren't Baptists? Because if it was Baptist of today, we'd be moaning and groaning and crying and whining and calling everybody and their brother and say, well, get me out of jail. I ain't preaching again. That ain't what they did. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fleeing. But Paul cried with a loud voice, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is the first time of anybody that we've looked at that they have asked, what must I do to be saved? And notice the reply in the Scripture. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. You say, well, did he get saved? And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. According to the word of God, he got saved because he got baptized. Did you have that experience? Does that match your experience? My question, or my, not question, my instruction let me just put it this way. If you don't have a biblical salvation, you're not saved. But if you're basing your salvation experiences on somebody else's and not the Bible, then you're not saved. But if it can confuses you and you're putting more faith in stock in what I say, where I was when I got saved, and what I say, what happened to me when I got saved, and what I say and what I felt when I got saved, then you're not putting your faith in the Word of God. You're putting faith in my experience. I'm not putting my faith in the experience of the thief on the cross. I'm not putting my faith in the experience of the Ethiopian eunuch. I'm not putting my faith in the experience of the Apostle Paul. I'm not putting my faith in the experience of the Philippian jailer, but I am putting my faith in the same Jesus that they put their faith in when they got saved. I might have not have prayed the exact right words according to the brethren. I honestly, other than the fact I know this point, I looked up into the heavens through the limbs of that tree, and I said, Lord, if you don't save me, I'm dying and going to hell. Please save me. And that's all I asked. What happened there? I finally got to a point that I realized that there was nothing that I could do for myself. And I placed my faith and my trust in what the Word of God that had been taught me and preached to me and that I had read to the best of my ability. I didn't know the verses. I just had heard Jesus had been preached unto me, and that Jesus had died on the cross for my sin, and that Jesus arose again on the third day, and that I was under the condemnation of my sins. And that if I would ask forgiveness and I would place my faith and my trust in Him, then I'd get saved. You know, that's exactly what happened to me as an 18-year-old boy. And I can sit here and tell you that there was a burden lifted off of me. I can sit here and tell you that I had joy. I can sit here and tell you that I felt clean on the inside. My experience is not like yours, and yours is not like mine. But I'll say this again to you. I believe the Word of God is true, and I believe that every person that we looked at tonight will be in heaven with us. So quit basing your salvation and the confidence of your salvation in somebody else's. You may have not have prayed the same words. You may not have been. Let me ask you this. Any of them in the house of God when they got saved? I've heard people say, well, if you wasn't in church, you couldn't have been saved. They wasn't none of them in the house of God. I've heard some crazy things in my life. But according to the Scripture, those people were saved. But none of their words or their circumstances or their situation was the same. But yet, they trusted in the same Lord. They believed the same Word. And the same great work of grace was done in their lives. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that you're saved. I've had many people come to me and say, well, preacher, I just don't know. I've had my children come to me and say, I just don't know, Daddy. I don't know. And you know what they're doing? They're wanting me to tell them. And God forbid that I would tell anybody that they're saved. But I will say this. I will point them to the Word of God. And I'll say, did you by faith do this? If you by faith believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you by faith called upon the name of the Lord, if you by faith believed that He was the Son of God and believed that He died on the cross and that He rose again the third day, and you by faith believe that He's coming back for you, according to the Scriptures, what does the Scripture say that you are? But for me to sit here and tell you that you're saved, I can't do that. There's one person in this building that I know that I'm saved or is saved, and that is me. I hope the rest of you are. But I can promise you this, I'm not trusting on your knowledge of my salvation to get me to heaven. I'm trusting on what Jesus Christ did for me.
Amen.
Don't let other people's experiences hinder you from growing in your Christian life. If you by faith asked the Lord to save you, and you by faith believed that He would do what He said He would do. Now remember, it's a different from here to here. As a 13-year-old boy, I done it here because everybody was telling me that's what I needed to do. But as an 18-year-old boy, I was so heavy in here, I was like that thief on the cross. I knew there was nothing else I could do. And I said, Lord, save me. And He did. I want Miss Evelyn to come to the piano tonight. I want her to play some verse of Amazing Grace. I don't know your heart. I hope this has been a help to you. I hope it's not been a hindrance to you. I don't want to hinder anybody. I don't want to cause confusion in anybody's life. But everybody's salvation experience is different. But there's one thing in common. There's really more than one thing in common. It's when you got reached the end of your rope and you was as that thief dying on the cross and there was nothing else that you could do. And you realized that if you died without Christ, you'd die and spend eternity in hell. And you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and that He could and that He would save you. And if you, by faith, asked Him to do that and you believed, remember, what must I do to be saved? Paul's reply to the Philippian jailer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're saved according to the Scriptures. We're standing all over the house.